Hello, I'm Kerry Lonergan. Welcome to the Weekly Grill. It's brought to you by Beef Central and Elanco Animal Health. Today, something different. Barbecues. Last week, Brisbane saw the latest round in the National Barbecue Circuit, a competition now held in 40 venues every year across Australia and New Zealand. Competitors have some big barbecue rigs, that is smoking barbecues, where the emphasis is on low and slow. That is, cooking is done at a low temperature for several hours, yes, several hours at a time for any one product. Now, before last week's competition, I spoke at length with a bloke who must be regarded as a smoking barbecue legend in Australia. His name is Grant Coleman. He's one of the bigwigs out at NH Foods at Oakey. Grant Coleman, welcome. You're on the grill.
Morning, Kerry. How are you?
Oh, it's wonderful to speak with you and about this exciting event that's happening this weekend. Now, but let's start with you. You've got almost a lifelong interest and association with the meat industry.
Yeah, Kerry. Ever since I left school, I started as an apprentice butcher and worked my way through the processing side of things, and I've been here ever since for 34 years.
Now, let's get into the barbecue side of our talk today. When did smoker barbecue cooking first start to emerge in Australia?
So low and slow barbecue, Australasian Barbecue Alliance was established, I think, in about 2015, I think it was, first originally started. It's been about 6 to 7 years that it's been going now.
You used the term low and slow, which I personally like. I think it's a terrific description of what you're doing. How does this differ from conventional barbecue cooking? Can you go through the process, please, Grant?
Yeah, on the low and slow side of things, you know, it's mainly used, it's for the, well, when I first started, it was for the, your briskets and short ribs and cuts that were lesser used in Australia, I suppose, from the Australian market. And, you know, in the barbecue scene, in the Australian, Australasian ABA, it's called, you cannot use gas or electric, so it's either wood-fired or pellet or charcoal. It's cooked, your briskets and that, you know, are a tougher part of the body. And that's why we call it low and slow, because you're cooking at a low temperature, normally between 250 Fahrenheit and 275 Fahrenheit.
Grant, how long would they be left in the smoker at that temperature?
So, anything like a brisket, you'd be cooking at them temperatures, you'd be cooking anywhere between 6 to 9 hours.
6 to 9 hours, wonderful. Now, what's involved with the preparation of that meat cut? I'm going to talk about meat cuts in a moment, but do you have to prepare them in any particular way?
Yeah, so you do. At the end of the day, you know, you're preparing the piece of meat. So, and what you're preparing the piece of meat for is the cooking it to get a texture and taste. Because in the judging side of the things, you know, it's only a one bite, so it's got to be right. So in the preparing of the meats, picking a good quality brisket, we've cooked grass-fed and cooked grain-fed and long-fed and Wagyu. Grass-fed is great for barbecuing, but when you go low and slow, we find that, you know, the more the marbling the meat, the more forgiving it is and the more flavour it is in that low and slow. So, you know, picking the right branded product and the marbling is very, very important, because as I say, once you prepare it, trim it, and then you select your salt, pepper, garlic, or a bit of one of these rubs that are around, a sweet rub, and then you cook it for your 6 to 8 hours, and as I say, it's one bite, so you've got to get that piece of meat cooked to a texture which is, you know, everyone enjoys, and you've got six judges there, and out of them six judges, you cannot afford to offend one judge. And all your scores are over the six judges.
So they have one bite, and they decide the taste on that just one bite.
Yeah, they have one bite, and they're looking for the box. It was presented in a box, a styrene box at the moment, and you have six pieces in there. Each judge takes one piece. They look at it for presentation. They'll score on you for presentation. They'll score on you for texture and score on you for taste. And they're all weighted scores. So, you know, presentation's only like one weighted score, then your texture and taste is higher. So, you know, it's really important to get that first bite. You know, the eyes always talk. Your eyes judge the piece of meat, and then if it's fantastic texture, then the taste comes last. You know, you score well, but you cannot afford to offend a judge with a, you know, chili or anything like that in barbecue, because, you know, straight away you offend one judge, your score drops down. So there's a bit to it.
I would think rather, given your employment in the beef industry and looking at meat just about every day of your life, that would give you an inside edge in selecting the right cut or the right brisket or ribs to use in the competition?
Oh, look, it does, Kerry. But, you know, in Australia, you know, as I said, I've cooked grass-fed, grain-fed, short-fed, and then cooked as well, you know, your Angus products and your Wagyu products. But, you know, for anyone else out there, you know, especially in the last 12 to 18 months, majority of these brands are out in the butchers or supermarkets where people can buy the brands of meat, all different brands in Australia, which, you know, is equal quality to what I see day to day.
How much is the popularity of this smoking low and slow trend, how much has it changed the value of a carcass, for example, elevating value of a slow cook cuts like briskets and rib meat? How much are briskets worth today, say 10 years ago or 5 years ago, relative to other cuts?
When I started, you know, you'd buy a normal brisket, you know, a good grain-fed brisket, you know, I'm going to say between $6 and $9 a kilo. Now you're lucky to get, you know, a good grain-fed brisket between $14 to $23 a kilo. So, you know, and they're very hard to get hold of at certain times of year with the popularity that, you know, everybody's having to go up low and slow, and everyone's been cooking since the last 18 months in COVID. So there's more and more people getting into it.
I was going to say, COVID must have had been a factor in generating a lot of interest in smoker barbecue cooking at home.
Definitely has. Like, you know, talking to a lot of the stores that I know that I've, you know, come to know over the last few years, and, you know, like GMG smokers and Weber kettle smokers and pellet smokers, you know, they've been on back order for 3 and 4 months because of the popularity that people are just buying them and putting them in the backyards and, you know, cooking more of these kind of products. And not only beef, you know, you got your chicken and your pork, which is really popular as well.
What are your favourite cuts, Grant, to put in a smoker?
Oh, look, I love cooking beef, and the brisket, you know, that's the challenge. The brisket is the challenge to get it right, to get the texture right. A lot of people still say to me, you know, I can't cook it with you. You know, get your texture and that. But as I say, you know, buy yourself a thermometer and all that, you know, with your brisket. If it's not around that 206 to 208 Fahrenheit, you know, it still never will be as tender as tender, and you'll have a chewy brisket. So texture is the most important thing about that cooking time.
Now, there are a lot of woods, as you mentioned, you can't use gas. There are a lot of different woods used in smoking, native hardwoods like gidgee and ironbark, citrus pruning, stone fruit prunings. What type of wood do you recommend? And will any hardwood do, for example, or you have to be...
Yeah, look, majority of the wood that we use in our smokers is from in Queensland, which is an ironbark up here. You know, it cooks very well. It burns very well, I should say. It burns a nice, clean smoke. It's not a real smoky fire. And as well, when the meat first goes into the smoker, it's cool, it's fresh, it's got the rub on it. That's when the meat will absorb the smoke for the first, you know, hour. And then after that, it doesn't, you know, really absorb too much more smoke. But that's when you'll use a bit of cherry or a bit of apple, only a small piece, and that'll give it that smoke flavour that gets into the meat to start with. And majority of the time, it'll give you a nice smoke around your piece of meat, your brisket or your short rib or even your pork ribs and pork. You get a smoke ring, and that's from that the coolness and that fruit wood.
My mouth's watering with that description. Great, thank you. Now, look, we'll take you back to 2018 now, where you decided to take on the best in the world, allegedly the best in the world, the barbecuers of America, and you took your own rig, that is your own smoker, and your own meat to Texas. How did that come about?
So in 2018, I was lucky enough to be selected to go and represent Australia from the ABA, Barbecue Alliance. And a lady over there by the name of Jess Pryles, she's a founding member of ABA here in Australia, now lives in Texas, Austin. So Jess had organised for the Houston Rodeo World Barbecue Championships to have two teams go over there, and I was lucky enough to take our Menin Valley Natural Smokers over there for the first year in 2018, and Jess was actually had smokers over there, so we were lucky enough to use her smoker. But, you know, I was talking to our head office and I asked them, you know, could we take our meat over? So we air freighted our own English Reserve briskets over there and competed in the competition in 2018. And that's where we were lucky enough to come second in briskets. I beat by half a point by a well-known American Texan team to come second in brisket. And, yeah, it was a very, very exciting afternoon.
Absolutely. You're bringing meat to Texas, which is odd in itself, but finishing second in what is effectively, I guess, the World Championships of barbecue smoking. Would that be right? How is it regarded over there?
Yeah, it's one of the main probably three events in America, the biggest events. You have the Royal, the Jack Daniels, and then you have Houston World Championships as well. And, you know, the big thing was on the day, once you get up on that stage and, you know, you've got, you know, 100,000 people out in front of you in this rodeo world champion area, and they're just out there and you're up on the stage. And
did you say 100,000 people watching people barbecue?
They have 100,000 people over there at these barbecues. It's like, it's, you know, 380-odd teams, and it's just, you know, it's one of the biggest barbecue parties you ever go to, and it goes for 4 days. Wow. It's amazing.
Now, COVID has stopped that world title going on, I assume, but now there's a barbecue circuit in Australia?
Yes, that's the Australian Barbecue Alliance. It's based here in Australia, yes.
And tell me about that. As we speak, we're heading into a weekend of barbecuing in Brisbane at the Brisbane Exhibition Grounds. So you've been in, I think it was Townsville a couple of weeks ago. Where's it headed after Brisbane?
Yeah, so we go to Brisbane. So it's right across Australia. We've got Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia, and Tasmania, where the majority of the competitions are. We've been very lucky in Queensland this year. We've had more competitions since I moved up here, and we've been very lucky with COVID. But Victoria and Queensland haven't had it. I mean, Victoria and New South Wales haven't had as many competitions, but they're starting to, well, prior to this week, starting to do a few more competitions. But, yeah, so, you know, there's about 380 teams, I think, in Australia now that compete across Australia on any one weekend. Currently, they have a system, a championship system, point score, which covers all the whole Australia and all the events it's run. And so, yeah, we were at Townsville last weekend and done really well up there, and was probably one of the most spectacular barbecue views of the ocean that we could ever cook a piece of meat and look out over the ocean. It was fantastic. And this weekend's a Saturday-Sunday doubleheader at the Brisbane Showground. That's the Brisbane Beer and Wine and Barbecue Festival. It's an annual event, very good event. And, yeah, so it takes place Saturday and Sunday.
And rockabilly music, what more could a person want than beer, barbecue, rockabilly music?
they have a great time. You know, there's a lot of people going through the gates and, you know, a lot of interest to the barbecue, the people that are interested in barbecue, and then they have a lot of displays and all the cooking demos as well that we all contribute and present on the day as well.
And you can buy the meat?
Yeah, they always have, you get 20 to 30 teams that'll compete, or up to 40 teams that'll compete at any one competition, but there's usually three or four that'll do the catering for the weekend.
Right.
They've got a very good caterer from down south that's coming to this one as well. So, you know, there's always a tasting plates and that you can taste exactly the same as what we cook in our teams.
As I say, my mouth is watering just thinking about going to this event at the weekend. Now, you prepare the meat, you put stuff on the meat like what most of us do. Can you, what you call a dry rub, can you give us a quick recipe for a dry rub for beginners in the smoking game?
Oh, look, for beef, you know, for your beef, majority of beef or your briskets is, you know, your salt, pepper, garlic. You can't really go past that. I always like to use a bit of hardcore black on my briskets. It's a rub that Jess Proles has, which I find is a very good. It's got a garlic and salt in it, which I just put a light coating on that. On your short ribs, pretty well similar the same, but there's a coffee rub, and I always like to use a coffee rub. On the short ribs, for the amount of fat that's in them short ribs, and it really, you know, really fit, you know, melts into that fat and gives it a very nice flavour.
Fantastic. Now, I have to ask this because it's a de rigueur question for people who appear on the grill. How do you like your steak?
I actually like my steak about just over medium, rare medium. I like it, you know, just not quite medium pink. It's got to be warm in the middle. I like it like that.
Fantastic. Good luck at the weekend and in future competitions.
Thank you very much, Kerry, and I hope to see you out there. And if you are, or anyone else is there that's listening, please look us up. Great. You'll find us under the Smooth and Smoky Salad Dodgers. That's our name at the moment. Nice pink Sunport tent.
Well done.
Yeah, come and make yourself known, and more than happy to show you what we do or anything like that.
Grant Coleman, it's a delight to have you on the grill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kerry.
Let's take a short break now to hear a message from our podcast partner, Elanco Animal Health.
This podcast is brought to you by CompuDose, a proven way to maximise growth rates in grass-fed cattle. CompuDose allows you to target and achieve specifications for most major markets, including MSA grading and feedlots. Contact Elanco and find out how CompuDose can grow your beef operation. Results may vary depending on nutrition. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back. This week we're talking barbecues, the low and slow varieties. And after the big show at the weekend at the Brisbane Exhibition Grounds, I spoke with the General Manager of the Australasian Barbecue Alliance. His name is Adam Roberts. Adam, another wonderful barbecue event in Brisbane at the weekend.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the pinnacle events for the Southeast Queensland region. We had near on 20 teams both Saturday and Sunday competing for around about $15,000 in prize money.
Wow. Well, it was a lucky break just missing the lockdown. I'm sure you had a lot of travellers from all over Australia there.
Absolutely, yeah. We had a team come up from Melbourne, so they just avoided the lockdown. They were released, if you like, a day or two earlier so they could fly up. We also had a Sydney team who wasn't in one of the hotspot areas, but I live in Port Macquarie, and it was a fairly easy drive. But yeah, the day after I got home, Southeast Queensland locked down. So yeah, it was a lucky escape, I suppose.
It was quite a successful example of how the low and slow barbecue game is travelling at present.
Absolutely. We have around about 300 to 400 active teams competing on the National Championship Series in any one year. And it really does bring the best of people, but also skills to the fore when we do get together to have a barbecue contest. And we still, I guess, follow the American style barbecue format where we cook up briskets, pork ribs, you know, we get into cuts of lamb, and then also the dirty bird, which is also called chicken.
Now, some of those rigs I saw at the show, gee, they look pretty expensive. They're towed by big trucks, of course, but some of them are big and they look very, very, someone's looked after them very carefully.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, don't let those scare you off. Some of those rigs are, you know, towed up and down the highway on the back of a big truck. But I guess anyone can get involved in the barbecue series and start out with like a small kettle grill right through to those big smokers. So, you know, don't let looks deceive you. Some of those guys with the big rigs, they've got plenty of money. But at the same time, I've seen heaps of guys cook up on a small Weber kettle and take out the top prize.
I've tasted some of the brisket that was there at the weekend. It cooks up extraordinarily well by various competitors I tasted, and they were all excellent. I have to say the taste is sensational. How long were those briskets cooked for at the show?
So our brisket hand-in for most contests is just after lunchtime. So we try and work back. Depending on how big the brisket is, it might take anywhere from 8 to 12 hours to cook. So, you know, if you work back 12 hours from lunchtime, you're up at midnight, or if you like a little bit of a sleep, and you'll just cook that a little bit quicker so you can get up just before dawn. But anywhere from 6 to 8 hours is probably standard. But part of that process that the meat is seasoned and thrown into the smoker, and it gets a beautiful amount of seasoning and bark. Then we might wrap it in a bit of foil to steam it on itself to make it really nice and soft and tender. And then we'll finish it off with a sauce or a glaze before we put it in the box for the judges.
Now, the low and slow method is putting some value into the cheaper cuts of meat, especially the briskets. What other cuts can you use successfully in a low and slow cooking?
So one of the more popular ones is, and probably everyone's heard of pulled pork. Now, pulled pork is something that you extract from a whole pork shoulder. or a Scotch area. So right up there, just under the neck and on top of the shoulder there. So butchers will square cut that for us. It comes down in about a 5 or so kilo big slab of pork. Now, we apply the same low and slow technique, which is cooking low temperatures over a long period of time. We get the seasoning rub on there. We smoke it up. We might wrap it again in foil just to soften it right up. When we open the foil, all the meat juices that are in there, we pull it apart, maybe add a little bit of extra seasoning on sauce before we serve it up.
It sounds delicious. What's the favourite cut with all the people who are buying the meat at the weekend?
Pork ribs are really hard to go past. You know, you've got meat on a stick, basically. You've got a nice, thick, meaty and sticky pork rib. That's always a crowd favourite. They're easy to eat, and they're often, you know, really succulent and tasty. But brisket's still king of the table, I think. You know, doing a brisket really, really well and using the low and slow technique and getting that smoke and flavour up through the meat, it's really, really hard to beat.
I'm getting hungry just listening to you, but where's the big event over the weekend? Where next for the big barbecue circuit?
So the season always takes a bit of a twist and a turn at the moment with COVID. We were supposed to be in the Hunter Valley, New South Wales this weekend coming, but that's been postponed due to the lockdown in Sydney and the New South Wales Central Coast area. So the next event will be later in the month in Adelaide. So far, they're looking okay to go. And I'm saying there's going to be a few teams coming from all over the country, but particularly from Victoria over to Adelaide to compete in one of the bigger contests of the year down in that region.
Now, I know we've got COVID problems all over the world, but are there any plans for people to go again to the World Barbecue event in Texas?
Yeah, so each year the Australasian Barbecue Alliance, its series qualifies a lot of teams to compete in one of 3 or 4 major world championship events in the United States. So there is a big one in Kansas called the Kansas City Barbecue Society American Royal, and also the Houston, Texas Rodeo. There's the Jack Daniels Invitational as well. So there's a few really big events that the ABA, contest series qualifies our teams for. Now, there's about 15 teams that are qualified for the American Royal in October. I don't think we're going to get there this year, but I have asked myself if we can get that qualifying ticket transferred to next year or as soon as we can get back on those planes.
Well, it sounds terrific, and good luck in the future, Adam. Hope we can catch you again at the next big barbecue show in Brisbane.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Also at the big show, a representative from, of course, Meat and Livestock Australia, her name, Demi Lolbach. Yes. Welcome, Demi. How was it?
Excellent. Thank you very much. Yeah, no, it's been a great 2 days of competition. Lots of different products handed in, lots of red meat, so it's been great.
Now, you were the chief judge, which actually means you were the trainer of the judges. I assume you had a bit of a taste as well.
I did have a little bit of a taste of a few of them. I guess it's the luck of being the head judge. I can have a look at the scores when they're coming in and pick at the ones that have got the good points and see if we like those ones as well.
How is this festival of barbecues around Australasia going?
Look, fabulous. Obviously, last year was a bit of a dampener with COVID, but they've been on a trajectory to really increase. The biggest comp we've had was Port Macquarie a couple of years ago, where we had almost 90 teams, and these comps started in Australia, I think, around 2014-15, and the first comp might have only had 10 teams, so they're really amping up.
And I understand there's prize money as well, but it's honour and glory most of the cookers chase, don't they?
Definitely. There's a lot of gents here today. There's the odd female cook, but a lot of the blokes prefer the glory and the bragging rights till the next comp of who's taken home the lamb win or the beef brisket win. So definitely glory when it comes to the blokes.
So these national barbecue competitions all over Australasia, I say, because there are about 10 events in New Zealand, I'm told, bigger and better on we go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is really still starting to pick up in Australia. People are realising how good low and slow cooked meat is and what we can do with those non-loin cuts. I think it's only going to get better.
Low and slow, that's the go. Demi, thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you, Kerry.
That's Demi Lolbach from Meat and Livestock Australia. So a big, big barbecue weekend with low and slow. The emphasis on what was cooked there that weekend. So much meat cooked and consumed, of course. The next big event is in Adelaide, the 23rd to 25th of July. Details on the Australasian Barbecue Alliance website. On behalf of Elenco and Beef Central, I'm Kerry Lonigan. Thank you for listening.